his song. The only reason we're here is to reproduce. Just chill out and reproduce. Keep the species alive. Now, then there's the hedonist approach. The purpose of life is pleasure. Have fun, party hardy. And then there's the materialist approach. Life is about the acquisition of things. Your life is measured by what you own. What's wrong with all of these approaches? They all fall short, and they have no purpose, no meaning, no direction. Being a success and knowing your purpose in life are not the same thing. You can be a raving success in life as far as the world is concerned and still never know why you were placed here on this earth and what God's purpose is for you. I believe that you were made by God and you were made for God. Say that with me. I was made by God and I was made for God. And you were put here for His purpose and His purpose alone. And until you understand that, life isn't going to make sense at all. Until you understand why God made you. So what does the Bible say to all these pessimistic views of life? Notice what Proverbs 16 says. The Lord has made everything for His own purpose. It's from God's Word translation. The Lord has made everything for His purpose. Now, do you believe that? Yes or no?
Yes.
Then understand this. God made you for a purpose. And He has a purpose for you to live out. It is your responsibility to discover what that purpose is. And how you discover that purpose is, first of all, by beginning at the starting point, and that is having a relationship with the God who created you. And once you surrender that life to Him and the Lordship of Jesus Christ over your life, as you follow Him in obedience, then He will show you what your purpose is. Notice what Ephesians 1 and verse 4 says. Long before He laid down earth's foundation, He had us in mind and settled on us as the focus of His love to be made whole and holy by His love. There's two purposes right there. You're to be made whole and you're to be made holy. That's from the Message paraphrase. By the way, I think it's the best paraphrase that's ever been written. So what is God's motive then? What is this idea of God's purpose for my life? And it's simply this, according to Ephesians 1 and the others. God made you to love you. You were created to be loved by God. Now you need to think about that for a while. I don't know about you, but I like being loved. I have missed that girl of mine. She's been gone since Thursday. I'm supposed to pick her. Her flight comes in at 4 o'clock tomorrow. I'm going to get there at 2, so if she gets there early, I'm going to be praying that tailwind for that plane. I'm ready to see my girl. I love being loved by her. I love being loved by God. He loves me. Now, my wife's love, I must say, at times, I think, is conditional. But God's love is unconditional. It will never change. No matter what you do, no matter where you are, there is absolutely nothing you can do to make God love you more and nothing you can do to make God love you less. God loves you. He created you to love you. Now, you can reject that love. But why would you reject the greatest love that's ever been given? Question number two. Not only of existence as number one, but question number two is a question of significance. Does my life really matter? Isaiah 49 from the New Living Translation says, "My work all seems so useless. I have spent my strength for nothing and for no purpose at all." Again, Isaiah is struggling because of God's call on his life and all the things that are happening with the nation. There are three levels of living that everybody will be a part of. Some of you are at what we call the survival level. You're just surviving. You're just treading water. It's like you've been dropped off in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean with no land in sight, and you're just treading water. And it seems like you're fixing to lose it. You can't tread anymore. Some of you are at the success level, just the opposite. You're on top of the world right now. Things couldn't be much better as far as financially. Everything's going well. The economy is up. Thank you, President. Everything's going well. New jobs. Lowest unemployment rate in 50 years. The year I graduated from high school, 1969, was the time when the unemployment rate was at this level. It's fantastic. Things are going great. You may be at the top of your game. You may have just started a new job, or you've just got a new vehicle, or you just moved into a new house, or you just started a family. Man, things are great. And then there's the significance level. This is where all of us want to be. Survival is tough. Success is challenging because it tends to make us get out of focus with God when we have success. Survival sometimes will also turn us from God because we think God has forgotten us. But when we reach that level of significance, there are three things at this level that we need to know. And that is this. Number one, you will know the meaning of life when you're at the significance level. You'll know why you're here. You'll understand that life is full of, on the whole continuum of good to bad, it's full of all types of experiences. But the thing that we understand when we reach that significance level is that God is with us through it all. And number two, you know how much you matter to God. God loved you so much that he sent his only begotten Son to take your sin and my sin and to bear our judgment. You know how much God loves you and how much you matter to God. Number three, you know God's purpose for your life and you're going to live, or his purposes for your life, and you're going to live them out. Notice what Isaiah 44 says. From the Contemporary English Version, it says, "I am your creator. You were in my care even before you were born." Now, I don't want to get into a theological argument with you today about the sovereignty of God, but I want to tell you something. I believe in the absolute sovereignty of God. There is nothing greater. He is omnipotent. He's all-powerful. There is nothing more powerful than him. He is omniscient. He is all-knowing. There is nothing he cannot know or will not know because he knows all things at all times. He even knows all the thoughts that you will think before you even think them. And he's omnipresent. That is, he is everywhere at all times in the totality of his being. And Isaiah 44 says, "I am your creator. You were in my care even before you were born." Jeremiah even talks about it in Jeremiah chapter 1. Says that he knew Jeremiah even before he was in his mother's womb. Then in Psalm 139 it says, "You scheduled each day of my life." Lord, I'd like to talk to you about that schedule. Amen. "You scheduled each day of my life before I began to breathe. Every day was recorded in your book. Then look at Psalm 33 from the Good News. It says, His plans endure forever. His purposes last eternally. God made you to love you. You were created to be loved by God. And you, here's the second thing. God's motive was in creating you, why you're here, you were made to last forever. This life is preparation for eternity. The decisions that you make now in this life will determine where you will spend eternity. Every person will live eternally somewhere. If you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have been promised life eternal in the presence of the Lord forever and forever and forever. But if you reject Him, if you turn your back on Him, if you refuse the good news of the gospel and His love that he says He made you to love you, if you spit on that love and walk away from it, you will spend an eternity in a place separated from God, a place the Bible calls hell. But it's your choice. This life is how you prepare for eternity. How's the preparation going? Is the question. This is the key to the meaning of life, realizing that life is preparation for eternity. Notice what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 from today's English version. It says, when this tent we live in, our body here on earth is torn down. In other words, when they spread you out and put you in that coffin, God will have a house in heaven for us to live in, a home He Himself has made, which will last for how long? Forever. Now, notice what else. Proverbs chapter 9 from the Message. Paraphrase. Leave your impoverished confusion and live. Walk up the street to a life of meaning. And that meaning is found when you realize that God loves you and that He wants you to understand that He wants you to have eternal life, which is forever. Here's the third question. It's a question of intention. What is my purpose? Notice what Psalm 89 says. Why did you create us? For nothing? Bertrand Russell, atheist, said this. At least he was honest in rejecting God. Notice what he says. Unless you assume the existence of God, the question of life's meaning and purpose are irrelevant. Now, this guy was not even, he was not a Christian. He's an atheist. But he said, unless you assume the existence of God, the question of life's meaning and purpose are irrelevant. In other words, what he's saying is, I don't believe there's a God, so really, I'm just going to live my life, enjoy it while I can. It really doesn't matter. I'm just a blimp on the radar. I'm just space dust, as Carl Sagan. Remember Carl Sagan? Oh, some of you are not old enough to remember Carl Sagan. But the guy rejected everything, and he was such a nice guy. He's kind of like the science guy today. What's his name? Bill Nye, the science guy. He's about as scientific as this gym floor here. Because he denies the very existence of God. And God is the one who created science. Created this universe. It's amazing how some people can look at what God created and say, oh, wow. All this happened by chance? It's ridiculous. No, there's intention. There's intention in creation. There's intention in this universe. There is purpose everywhere that you look. But Bertrand Russell, and here's the thing. If there is no God, here's what you are. You are a freak chance of nature. You are just complex pond scum. And your life really doesn't matter. Because if you don't know something's purpose, it's likely to be abused. Proverbs 9 says, knowing God results in every other kind of understanding. You see, in other words, King James says it this way, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. In other words, you can't even claim to have intellect until you understand that there is a God and that He created all things. You will never have wisdom. You may have academic accolades all over you. You may have so many degrees that you bust the top out of a thermometer. You may have all types of education, but if you leave God out of it, you're just an educated fool. Because the Bible says in Psalm 14, verse 1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. In fact, it literally says this, the fool has said in his heart, no God. In other words, it's like Bertrand Russell. It doesn't necessarily mean that he doesn't believe that there could possibly be one. He just says, I don't want anything to do with the God. It's like some of you sitting at the supper table and they pass the broccoli around in front of you and you say, no broccoli. Well, good. Pass it on to me. I like it. Well, that's what Psalm 14 is saying. The fool has said in his heart, no God. In other words, I don't want him. But knowing God results in every other kind of understanding. What is God's motive here? Not only were we made to be loved by God, not only does He give us direction, but He says, I find purpose by getting to know God. You will never understand purpose in life until you understand your relationship to the one who created you. It's just like those tools I had up here this morning. Every one of those tools were created by somebody for a specific purpose. Now, I can take a pair of those Klein pliers and I can skin wire with it. And I can do all kinds of things with it. I can use it as a channel lock if I want to tighten a nut or a bolt or something. But it will not do a good job. It will strip the edges off. You'll end up pinching your finger and getting a blood blister. But when you use the right tool for the right job, you're able to accomplish what somebody figured out that I needed a different type of tool. And that's the same thing here. You will never know your purpose until you know how God has tooled you. That's exactly right. Think about this today. God has a plan for every one of us, but He also has a personal plan for each one of us. Did you get that? God has a plan for all of us, but God also has a personal plan for each of us and purpose and direction. That's why Paul uses the anatomy of the human body. Some of us are fingers, some of us are toes, some of us are eyes and ears, and some of us are big mouths. But God uses us all. And when we all work and function together, we are in good health. You know, you've got, I think it's 9 different systems in your body. You medical folks will need to correct me here. But you've got, is it 13? It's a bunch of them. You've got an autonomic nervous system. You've got a cardiovascular system. You've got a skeletal system. You got a digestive system. You get the idea? It's a bunch of those systems in your body. When all of those systems are working and are probably doing their job, what do you have? Health. But if you've got a system or more than one system that's not working, what do you have? You have dis-ease or disease. And it's the same in the church. Every one of us, God has given us a purpose for all. That is that we are to proclaim the gospel, we are to build the church, we are to serve God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. But he has given each one of us individually a purpose, and we are part of the body of Christ. And if you are not fulfilling your part of the body of Christ, you will never understand your purpose. So God's motive is that I find my purpose by getting to know God. You need to get to know God. Colossians 1 says, for everything, absolutely everything, above and below, visible and invisible, everything got started in him and finds its purpose in him. For the next 40 days, we're going to be traveling through discovering what this is all about. I'm going to give you, over the next 6 weeks, we're going to talk about the different purposes that God has for us. And in 40 days, your life could be radically changed if you will allow God's word to penetrate your heart. And if you will allow God's truth to begin to work in your life and you surrender to the lordship of Jesus Christ and allow him for these next several weeks to teach you and to show you your purpose in life. God has done a lot of amazing things in 40 days. Noah's life was transformed by 40 days of rain. Moses' life was transformed by 40 days on Mount Sinai. The spies that went into the land were transformed by 40 days in the promised land. David was transformed by Goliath's 40-day challenge that he came out every day challenging the people of God and spitting on the name of God. The city of Nineveh was transformed in 40 days. Jesus was empowered for ministry by spending 40 days in the desert. And the disciples were transformed by 40 days with Jesus after the resurrection. The next 40 days of your life could transform you into a whole new creature if you're willing to let God speak to your heart. Your first step is to trust him as your Lord and Savior. If you have not done that yet, then that's where you got to start. You can't jump somewhere else and jump out of line and do something else. You must start there. If you today need Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you need right now to just open your heart and say, Lord, I don't understand it all. But I understand it in my heart. There's a yearning. There's an emptiness. There's a deep void. And this preacher has said to me today that if I will trust you and repent and turn from my way and turn to you, that you will come into my life and you will forgive me of my sin and you will mold me and shape me and use me. And so, Lord, right now I ask you to come into my life. And maybe that's your prayer today. That's where you need to start. Or maybe you've already accepted Christ as your Savior. Where do you start? You start by surrender. Surrender everything that you have to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. He's Lord of your life. He's Lord of your family. He's Lord of your job. He's Lord of your finances. He's Lord of everything. And if he's not Lord of all, then he is not Lord at all. But some of you that are here today are what would be termed as a seeker. You're just trying to figure this life out. Well, let me tell you, you've come to the right place. But here I want to twist this a little bit. You may be seeking the meaning and purpose of life, but let me tell you this, God is seeking you. And that's why you're here today. You wondered why you came to this building today? Because God is seeking you. He drew you here. Some are stumblers. Man, we run for a while, then we hit the ground. We crawl for a while, then we hit the ground. We walk for a while, then we hit the ground. We can never seem to get a good foundation under us. And you know why that happens? Because you forsake the things that will give you stability in your life. You leave the Lord out. You forsake Him for some type of pleasure or some type of recreation. Or you forsake Him by not meeting with Him on a regular basis every day, letting God speak to you from His Word. You leave those things out. And you just, I'm going to tell you, you're just going to stumble through life as long as you leave out those things that you need to give you the strength and stability that you need. And then some are strong believers. Thank God for those. Because sometimes the strong believers stumble as well. It makes no difference who you are or where you're from. If you want God and are ready to do as He says, the door is open. Acts chapter 10. From the Message, paraphrase. George Herbert said this, and I close with this. It is never too late to be who you might have been. And it all starts with God and your acknowledgement of your need for Him and your understanding that God loved, He made you to love you. You were made to last forever. And that God has a purpose and plan for every one of us. And that His motive is that you know Him in all of His fullness. That's why you're here, folks. Now, you've got to make a decision. Are you going to accept that as your worldview? Are you going to accept that as your principle to build your life on? Are you going to accept this idea that you were created with purpose, that God has that for you? You have to make that decision. And so as I close in prayer, and as our team makes their way here for our final song, I want to encourage you right now to pray with me. Lord Jesus,